And I think it's something we need to take heed to. So Genesis chapter 20. And I didn't even put it on my iPad tonight. I just jotted it on paper. I can still write. Well, I wouldn't teach penmanship. There's the key. If I print, it's legible. If I write it, it's not. So, chapter 20, we went over chapter 20 the other day. And we know Abraham sojourned south, and he went in where Abimelech was, and he told Sarah to say, "Hey, you're my sister," which wasn't a lie. Really was. They had the same dad, they didn't have the same mom. It was deceiving because he didn't tell him it was his wife. Now, so basically, he lied, either way you want to look at it. Later on, Isaac, his son, does the same thing, except he really, really lied. Because Rebecca wasn't his sister. That was his cousin. Nahor was her dad, which was Abraham's brother. So anyway, as I was reading this, and the Lord had me go back over and read it, and I come across some things that I just couldn't avoid, but because I kind of wanted to avoid them. But if you go over to Genesis 20, verse 9, now we know that, so I'll run by over it real quick, rewind. We know that he took Sarah, and he's going to, in that day, they could just take single women and make them their wives, these kings. Problem is, she wasn't single, but he didn't know she was married. So he done it with the right heart. He was doing what it was okay for him to do. But he was deceived. God came to him in the night. God made him sick so that he couldn't do what he was going to do, and sick or whatever you want to call it, but he just didn't want to. Anyway. Amen. So, so God told him, he said, look, I mean, in this dream, he said, you need to give her back. That's Abraham's wife. Now, we got to remember that's part of God's plan. Abraham's wife had to have a child. She was going to have a little boy named Isaac. God had already told him that. Now, she wasn't pregnant yet, but she's going to be. And by what Abraham done, he's really messing things up. It would have changed a lot of things. He'd already messed up once, and it's caused us a lot of issues. So God came to Abimelech in a dream and told him, and Abimelech's like, oh, good grief. He said, Lord, I done this, and I didn't do this on purpose. I didn't know. The Lord said, I know. He said, but you got to give her back. So now we pick up in verse 8. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears. And the men were sore afraid. In other words, he went and he told his main people that he needed to tell that that this is what the Lord told me, and we're being punished. We're being judged for this. Judgment has fallen on him, his family, his nation because of what was going on. So then it said, verse 9, then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, why hast thou done unto us? What hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And it goes on to tell why Abraham done it, and Abraham even backed it up again. He said, well, she is my sister. Basically, when I started studying this, the Lord says, you know, we do the same thing. We bring problems on people that we shouldn't. They honestly, some of our neighbors, some of our family, our nation, could come to Christians and say, why have you done this to me? Why have you brought these things on me? It ought not to be. Because Abraham shouldn't have lied. Abraham should not have lied. Abraham, he deliberately sinned. And in turn, it caused these people problems. You see, when we openly sin, or when we willingly compromise, let me unname some of that, murmuring against the pastor. Yeah, don't answer this. You ever went home and thought, well, that dirty scoundrel, why does he preach that way? How come he's preaching this? I'm so mad. And you've been around people that didn't need to hear it. Because what's it do for them? You ever complained about your church? I'm going to be honest with you. I've done both of these. You ever complained about your church? Two people? And then you wonder why they don't come? Especially family. Have we ever complained about our teachers at church? Well, I can't believe they did it. But what it does is it causes a real problem. Basically, they could look at you and Abimelech, a person could say, what hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? You see, when we sin, when we allow Satan's foot in the door, that's why Ephesians 4:27 said, neither give place to the devil. You know why? Because when you crack the door open just a little to the devil, when he comes on in, he ain't bashful about it. When we do that, when we allow him in our door of our lives, it doesn't only affect us, but it affects others. Actually, it even brings God's judgment upon these people that aren't even God's children. Wow, that ain't right. Well, hey, now I'm gonna say this. If we repent truly from our heart and we ask forgiveness, the Lord forgives us of our sins. But a lot of the damage is already done. You know, it brings God's judgment upon them because, listen, our actions may cause others not to want to be a part of the family of God. Why would I get saved? Look at what's going on with them. Why would I want to be a part of that church? Look at what's going on with them. I look at things as I got enough problems without somebody adding problems to me. That goes for even young people. When young people are trying to tell others about Christ, what's your attitude? You three looking right here at me? Now you are. What's your attitude toward people, toward other kids? How do you treat other kids? And then if you want to entice them to love Jesus like you supposedly love Jesus,
Why would they? Because if your attitude isn't good, well, they sure don't want a part of that. Good grief, we got enough enemies. I mean, really?
That's right.
You know, our attitudes toward people without the walls of this church, I mean, it's bad enough if we got attitudes with each other, but our attitudes out there kind of sets the what's the wording on? Kind of sets the precedence maybe of whether they even want to be a part of you. If we come on to people in the wrong way, why would they want to be a part of it?
That's right.
You see, when we do wrong, it affects people. And what it does, you see, God's judgment is going to fall upon people one of these days. We're going to be raptured out. We're going to be gone when the judgment comes down. But how many of them would have left with us if we had had the right attitudes, the right Christian attitudes? And if we had been serving the way we should, if we wasn't out there sinning right along with everybody else, basically that's what he was doing. You see, many people suffer. Even nations suffer. Do you know our nation suffers because of sins? And I'm not talking about the pagans out there, the lost. I'm talking about the believers. Daniel. Daniel in chapter 9. We won't go and read it all, but Daniel in chapter 9, if you go through it, get a chance, you read it, 1 through 19. That's his prayer. In that prayer, he prays and he said, Lord, we've sinned against you. We've rebelled against you. He was praying, asking for some answers, but yet he was praying for everybody. Listen, when we pray, we probably ought to add in there, and I'm guilty about not doing it, but we probably ought to add in there, Lord, forgive the United States for the sins they do. One reason that we got a lot of the problems we got. I was talking to a man yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. Well, Jim Black. Me and him were talking. He said, you ever thought that maybe we missed our opportunity? I said, I think I'm following you. He said, yeah. He said, how many years was it all being set up? And then God put Trump in office and we let it just fall to the wayside. Trump ain't no angel. But while Trump was in office, things flourished. They talked about Jesus on TV. They mentioned the name Jesus on TV. Even he did. People said, well, they wasn't saved. I ain't seen his heart. Lot was saved. But nonetheless, while he was in there, Christians wasn't afraid to do what they were out there doing. They wasn't afraid to present the gospel. Matter of fact, it gave us, honestly, a boldness that we ain't got right now. But me and him were discussing, and he said, do you think we might have missed our opportunity? I said, well, my head.
Yes, we did.
Now, whether the Lord will give us another one, no, that's up to him. But you see, when Christians go the wrong way, nations suffer. Verse 9. But what were they suffering? What was the judgment on Abimelech and his nation? It's the very last verse. Verse 18 says, for the Lord had fast closed up all the wounds of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. His judgment had come down on them. So apparently this went on for a while because people were figuring it out.
We have no kids. Something wrong.
That was the judgment that he dropped down on them, especially Abimelech, because of Abraham's sin. You see, that's what happened to his home, and it was going to affect the nation because of what he was doing. You see, what we need to do in our lives, now, we can't, you say, well, Brother Jim, what am I supposed to do about my neighbor? Well, that's true. What am I supposed to do about this church down the road? They're not, well, I agree with you. But we as individuals need to make sure that we're living the way we're supposed to.
Amen.
You see, Abraham, he was living the way he was supposed to, but Lot was not. Which, it you know, Lot fell right in with him. But Abraham kept on living the right way. We've got to do the same. Whether our country is going to go on off the deep end, which it seems to, we've kind of come into an area because of some of the elections going on that's given everybody a different attitude, and hey, including myself, it gives you that boost that you wanted, because there for a while you're walking around just, and now all of a sudden it's like, wow, hey, people are listening. People are fed up with what's going on. It's more than just me. But in turn, we need to make sure that we're living our lives the way the Lord would have us to. And then we're, now listen, you're going to go out and sin, okay? But openly sinning. That's what Abraham knew it was wrong to do what he was going to do. He already paid for it once, and he turned around and done it again. And as I mentioned the other day, Abraham, he asked forgiveness for what he did, but he didn't judge it. I think he did after that. That's what we need to do. We need to go back. I mentioned the other day. We need to go back and judge these things. See it the way God sees it. Because when we openly go that route, it not only affects you, but it, because you're a part of Wagon Wheel, it affects Wagon Wheel. I ain't preaching this side because there's only a few over there. It does. It affects everybody. We're a body. And when the little child gets hurt, listen, I didn't know how important a pinky toe is. So they took the joint out of mine. And then I found out, oh, it does do something for you. Because I was going to fall in this way and it don't hook you up. It just kind of falls up now. But anytime any of us have issues or we're out there sinning deliberately, I may not know you are. Others may not know who you are and what you're doing. But it affects everybody. It really does. It causes issues. We need to be careful how we're living our Christian life every day. Amen? And I was reading Paul over in Philippians. And he was talking about, of course, he was in prison when he wrote Philippians. He was talking about, I've learned how to live high on the hog. I've learned how to live down in the dungeons. I've just learned how to take it. God's in control anyway. And then he says, my favorite verse, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Listen, we can live the life we ought to if we'll seriously dwell on that verse. It'll help us. Amen?